December the 30th, seven games. We had a really good opening game, probably not the one we were expecting to be a good game, but the Bulls and the Hornets put on a show. A lot to talk about. Let's get into the action. This is the Monday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep Podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere and everywhere you consume your fantasy content. Please go and download the episodes, subscribe, like, all of that stuff. We are part of the Old Man Squad, at Old Man Squad on Twitter. We'll get into the games. Something just very quickly. I don't know if I mentioned it yesterday, and Dan Bespris did tweet out something about it yesterday, I believe. So Dan and I will be hosting a live trade deadline show. We are still a bit over a month away, but it's never too early to start spreading the word. So 7th of February. I always get these dates wrong because I'm in a different country. 6th of February in the States, 7th of December for me, 7th of February for me. The show, I believe, will start so the deadline is 3 p.m. Eastern. I think the show is starting around midday Eastern. I won't be on for the first hour or two, only because I'm not getting up at 3 a.m. to do a show, but I will get up at 5 a.m. to do a show. So it will still be early. It will be dark. I might have a coffee with me, but there will be a show Dan and I hosting, as well as a whole heap of other guests. So just something to pop into your calendar or a reminder or whatever you do, but it should be a fun show. Let's get into these games. As I said, there were seven of them, the first of which, Chicago at Charlotte. The Bulls do get the win in overtime, 115 to 108. This was a fun one. If you've got half an hour of your life that you are willing to give away, I would go and watch the final overtime, not as much, but the final quarter of this game was pretty wild. It really encapsulates for me what the NBA is about. Whether you're a Bulls fan or a Hornets fan, there was frustration, excitement, annoyance, confusion, every emotion you can think of sort of sandwiched into 12 minutes of NBA basketball. It was a pretty chaotic finish. Let's start with the Bulls. Who should we start with? Vucevic. Let's start with Vuce. 16 and 13, a steal. Numbers are good. He is starting to come back to what we thought he would be coming into the season, which is still a good player, but not the player that he was for the first 2 months. So still certainly worth rostering, but that sell high opportunity probably gone now. Julian Phillips did start, and like I said, we didn't really need to pay any attention to him. Kobe White had 23, 10, and 9. So nice performance. Remember, we're adding an extra 5 minutes onto all of these, well, these players. So the numbers are elevated slightly. Josh Giddey had 13, 12, and 6 with a steal. He was good. Patrick Williams continues to play all right. He had 17 points with 3 rebounds, nothing else. So lack of peripheral stats is a bit of a cause for concern. For me, he's still pretty borderline, but probably worth rostering. Lonzo Ball is the interesting player here for me. Torrey Craig had a good game. He had 18 points, but they all came in the second half. It was just weird. We're not adding Torrey Craig. But Lonzo Ball played 26 minutes. He only had 4 points, but he had 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 steals, 1-3. He closed the game, basically. Giddey came on. They were sort of chopping and changing a little bit, but largely it was Lonzo who closed the game here. That's not to say he will close over Giddey moving forward, but he was out there. Torrey Craig was out there. They were just going with the hot hands. Is Lonzo an ad in 12s? I think I've already had four people ask me that today or in the last couple of hours. He's probably, I'd like to see more 20-minute games before saying yes, but I also wouldn't say no. Obviously, you'd want more points than this, but he will get assists, he'll get steals, he'll get blocks as well for a guard. He won't usually go one of three from the line either. So he was a team best plus 25. He makes a difference out there. So he is pretty close if you're near the top of your standings and you're just looking for a potential bump. Then I think he is, yeah, he's maybe worth a look. Over to Charlotte, they were without LaMelo, they were without Brandon Miller. So like we talked about, someone had to do the scoring. Miles Bridges did that. He had 31 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. Looks great. 13 of 32 from the field. Like I said, there was just no one else here to score. So he just fired up. He did manage to get a lot of his points late, which is why this game was close and did go into overtime on a pretty wild three-point shot by Miles Bridges. So good numbers for him. If you don't care about field goal percentage, this was really nice. Josh Green, I said he was maybe worth a look. He had 14 points, 3 threes, didn't get you any steals tonight, but those numbers are okay. Micic had 7 and 7 with 2 steals. He poo-pooed all over your field goal percentage, 1 of 13. But the 7 assists, the 2 steals are nice. As long as LaMelo is out, he is worth rostering. Seth Curry had 17 points in 33 minutes. I think he had 12 of those in about the first 6 minutes or 7 minutes. So he didn't do anything after that. He is just a streamer if they are still down on troops in that next game. And Mark Williams, his best game of the season, 30-plus minutes for the first time this season, 20 points on perfect shooting, 9 of 9. A couple of those were arsey shots. One of them, he wasn't even looking at the basket. He got hit in the face. So he was looking down at the ground and threw it up and in it went. Also perfect from the line, had 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 steals. This is why we saw him as a top 50 player coming into the season. And this is one that I got right. He was obviously really hard to hold with the injuries, but I'm glad I did in a few spots at the moment. Chad, we need to talk about Talen Horton-Tucker, do we? 4 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks in 20 minutes. Yes, it's like it's a Lonzo-y kind of a line. I'm not adding Talen Horton-Tucker. Look, and I was going to tweet something. I didn't, but he looks so old to me. Watching him play, he looks like he's about 38 years old. He looks like an older, retired version of himself. I don't know why. It just feels like he's gone from like this young third-year player to a veteran that's been in the league for 15 years in the space of 12 months. Anyway, nothing to do with his performance, but I thought that was funny. New York at Washington. The Knicks do get the win, unsurprisingly. 126 to 106. It wasn't that close. Tibbs, of course, still played. He started stupid minutes. Jalen Brunson with a calf injury needed to play 36 minutes, obviously, in this game. With the high minutes, the production comes. OG was a little bit better in this one. Didn't get any steals. He had a block. He had 18 points, but the shooting is still pretty bad. Josh Hart had a triple-double. Look, take all of this with a grain of salt. Against the Wizards, you're always going to put up numbers, so I don't really need to talk about the Knicks too much here. But let's talk about the Wizards. Bub Carrington, 6, 5, and 5 with a steal in his 28 minutes, but then was unable to close the game due to post-traumatic headache or something. So I'm assuming he got hit in the head and got a delayed sort of version of a headache or something. Anyway, keep an eye on that. If he is out, who knows? I mean, Kyle Kuzma returned. He was very Kyle Kuzma, 9 points with not much else. So he will probably come back into the starting lineup. If Carrington is out, they may just move him straight in. Jordan Poole was also out. in this one. Kispert played well. He had 16 off the bench in his 23 minutes. It's hard to get a read on this Washington rotation at the moment. Koulibaly, like I said two shows ago, he had been on a hot streak, so prepare for a regression, and we got it here, 1 of 10 from the field, but he still had 6 assists, 3 blocks, so still a hold. Alex Saar and Jonas Valanciunas splitting minutes, well, close to. I mean, Jonas had 21, Saar had 25. If Jonas gets to 20, he is probably a hold. I'd like to see more of this. Saar has been out a little bit, and so if you want to just try and get ahead of it, grab Valanciunas just in case they are going to lean into him a little bit more. But he did shoot 10 of 13 from the field here, so he's not going to do that every night. So he is still borderline for me, but worth a look if you just need big man stats. Brogdon is a hold. Champagne, no. 25 minutes is nice, but 3 points, didn't do anything else. So not really interested in him. The Clippers and the Pelicans. Clippers get the win, 116-113. New Orleans were up for a lot of the game. Clippers came back. Typical New Orleans fashion, really, this season. Norm Powell, 35 points, 2 steals, 4 threes. A lot of shots, but a lot of points as well. So you've got to love what he's been doing. Derek Jones had 11 points with 3 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. He is a defensive streamer who can sort of throw in points from time to time. Chris Dunn also had 2 steals and a block in his 32 minutes. Also a streamer. Kevin Porter returned. He only had 5 and 4. He had been playing okay before the injury, but if his minutes are down here in the mid-teens, we don't need to be rostering him. If you did pick him up today, you could hold. This was his first game back, so maybe they increase him to 20 or 22 in the next game. So I think he's okay to hold for one more game. New Orleans, pretty balanced performance here. Trey Murphy looks really good. Herb Jones had 18 points. He's very up and down offensively, but he had the 2 steals. He is a pretty firm hold as well. I still like what I'm seeing from Eve Missy. He had 12, 9, and 4 with 5 blocks. He's looking very comfortable out there. He was against Zubats here, who is certainly not a defensive-focused center. So you would want to put up decent numbers, and Missy did. So he's been really nice for them this year. DeJounte, the supporting stats continue to be fantastic. 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 steals, but 13 points on 6 of 16 shooting. If and when his shooting comes around, then we'll be happy, and would be a sell high at the moment. Just keep rolling with him. CJ had 33 points with 4 assists, so a nice shooting night for him. Jordan Hawkins, Brandon Boston, Javonte Green, these guys are not that interesting. Denver at Utah, 132-121. Denver get the win. Nikola Jokic, pretty decent night for him. 36 points, 22 rebounds, 11 assists, 4 steals, 3 threes. It's ridiculous, the lines he's putting up at the moment. Michael Porter Jr. was, look, against Utah, you're going to want to put up good numbers. Christian Brown had 20 points, 2 steals and a block. Playing a lot of minutes for their guys here. So I'm just reading comments, as I always do, and I shouldn't. All the starters were good here. Westbrook had 16, 10 and 10. So he continues to play really well. And he was even efficient in this one. I talked about Mark Williams being perfect. Even Russell Westbrook was perfect. So we're not going to get that all too often, but a pretty clear must roster player somehow. Peyton Watson, yeah, I think he's probably still someone we're holding. He only had 13 points. He had 4 rebounds, a block in 26 minutes. He's not hitting those heights that we wanted, but yeah, he's pretty locked in as that sixth man, I think, at the moment. So I'm still holding him. For Utah, Keontae George returned, which sent Jordan Clarkson to the bench. Keontae George had 7 points, six assists, and a steal. First game back, I'm not worried about it. He had been out for a couple of weeks, I think, almost, so he'll be fine. Colin Sexton, though, he continued to look pretty good, 22 points. The assists went down, which was to be expected with Keontae George back. So we hold Sexton, we hold George, we hold Clarkson for the time being. Johnny Juzang started. He had 14 and 4. I'm not really interested in him because Cody Williams could start the next game. Filipowski could start the next game. Sensible could start the next game. Who knows? As long as John Collins is out. So no real consistency there to that fifth starting spot. Walker Kessler had 12 and 13 with two blocks and a steal. So a nice night considering he was up against Jokic. Cleveland at Golden State, easy win for the Cavs, 113 to 95. So they didn't need to play their starters too much. And we don't really need to talk about the Cavs. It wasn't a good Evan Mobley game, 7 points. He still had three blocks and a steal. He will be fine. No reason to concern ourselves there. But yeah, I don't want to talk about them. Golden State, we will talk about Golden State. Trayce Jackson-Davis, 16 and 16 with two blocks. Very clear must roster player at the moment. Steph Curry, we're seeing more and more of these games where he just can't hit shots. We rarely saw these in his peak and even in the last couple of years. So it probably is first signs of him just starting to regress and come back to the pack a little bit. He had 11 points. He had three assists. He's going to be a tough player to move in a trade, I think, if you're looking to buy low or sell high on Steph Curry, because people just have in their mind of how good he was, not necessarily what he is now. So tough to move. I think Draymond Green had 2 points, but he had eight rebounds, five assists, two blocks and a steal. That is why you're rostering him. Dennis Schroeder, he had 12 points and three assists in 30 minutes. I would just drop him. I think you can drop him. A few of these points came late. He had, for quite a while, he had like 4 points or six or something. So I just think we can move on from him. Kuminga, not as good as he has been, 18 points on 4 of 15 shooting, but he got to the free throw line a lot. Didn't hit all of them, 10 of 14 is not great. But he's still someone that we're holding because he's really the only one off the bench who's consistently doing stuff. Moses Moody had 19 points, but it's him one game, then it'll be Buddy Hield. We've got Gary Payton to come back in. Kyle Anderson is out of the rotation almost. Not really looking at any of those fringe guards. And I would have Schroeder in that discussion as well. Dallas at Sacramento, the Kings, they finally win a game against the Dallas G League team, pretty much. PJ Washington returned from his suspension, had 28 points with two blocks and a steal. Yeah, he looked good. He was really hot early, did slow down. He had 19 points in the first quarter, I think. So did slow down after that, but still a really nice game with no Luka, with no Kyrie. Klay Thompson was a very late scratch due to an illness, which apparently just appeared out of nowhere. I'd like to know who... how teams get away with that. Like, these players are not just turning up an hour before the game going, oh, I'm sick. They would know in the morning. So it's pretty frustrating if you had Clay active today. So their starting lineup was wacky. Quentin Grimes, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jaden Hardy. Dinwiddie was very good in this one, 30 points with six assists. Must roster player. Quentin Grimes, only 11 points. He had seven rebounds, three assists, a block. I think he is a must roster player as well. Hardy didn't really make the most of an opportunity here. 8 points. I still don't mind him in dynasty leagues, but he's not quite there yet. And then a lot of opportunity for guys that you might have never heard of. Jazian Gortman, Olivier Maxence Prosper, Brandon Williams, Dwight Powell, Kessler Edwards. If Sacramento didn't win this game, I think there might have been riots in Sacramento. Let's talk about the Kings, though. Where do we want to start? I know who I'm going to end with. We'll start with Monk. The numbers are okay here, 14, 7, and 6. The shooting's still off a bit, but he'll be better than this. He'll turn things around. De'Aaron Fox had 33, 6, and 6, so nice night for him. And look, honestly, against this Dallas lineup, you'd want to be putting up numbers. Sabonis had 17, 16, and 7. DeRozan is still very mid. I don't know if he's just done as a top 40 player. He might just settle in that top 70 range now. But let's talk about Keegan Murray. What a waste of space he is. I watched this game pretty closely. And through the first quarter, I mean, the whole game really, Keegan Murray just stands in the corner and does absolutely nothing. They don't use him. He's just so, I'm not saying he's a waste of space in terms of his talent and he shouldn't be out there, but they're just underutilizing him so much. Why would you not bring Keon Ellis into this starting lineup? And bring Keegan off the bench. He's built to score. That's what he should be doing. You just throw him in the corner. And if he gets the ball, great. But he doesn't get the opportunity to attack the basket. There's just – it's to do with the construction. You've got five guys on there that need the ball in their hands. Someone's going to miss out, and it's Keegan at the moment. It's DeMar DeRozan to a lesser extent. DeRozan's obviously not moving to the bench. There were rumors that he was asked to move to the bench by Mike Brown, and now Mike Brown doesn't have a job. So I know they won this game, but they should have won it by a lot more. They were down for a lot of it. But, I would just bring Keon Ellis into that starting lineup, and because you can put him in the corner, but he's a much better defensive player. He can cover for some of their deficiencies, DeMar's deficiencies. Anyway, that's my Sacramento rant. They won the game. Keegan Murray had 4 points with 6 rebounds and 2 steals. He's probably a drop. If he's playing in this role, the minutes are there, but the opportunity is not there. Keon Ellis played 20 minutes, which is better. He had 7 points with 5 rebounds and 2 steals. You can hold him if you like. I'm holding him in a one or two leagues where I just need steals in the hope that they figure this out and end up playing him 20. I mean, we're not even asking for 30 minutes, but 24, 26 minutes, that would be nice. Let's see. I'm not confident. Philadelphia at Portland. Philly get the win. That's why the show was a little bit late. This game was just dragging on and on. 125 to 103. Joel Embiid, of course, huge night for him against DeAndre Ayton, the least defensive-minded center in the NBA. 37 points, 9 rebounds for Joel Embiid. Maxi had 23 with 3 assists. Paul George, huge buy low at the moment, 9 points on 4 of 9 shooting. Didn't do much else. He'll be better. He had some foul issues, so rhythm wasn't there. But, nice buy low on him. Remember when Caleb Martin hit 6 threes or whatever against the Celtics? Yeah, he had 7 points on 3 of 6 shooting. He is just a defensive streamer. Kelly Oubre, his best game of the season overall, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 8 steals, 1 block. Didn't hit a 3, but he did hit both his free throws. So if you've been holding him, then you're lapping up the 8 steals. He'll be pretty borderline, I think, moving forward. But if he can continue doing other things other than scoring, then I think he'll be a 12-teamer rest of the way. Gershon Yabusele, he got hot very early in this one. He ended up with 16 points. This is more of a matchup kind of thing. Paul George in foul trouble. So I wouldn't be overreacting to this too much. And for Portland, DeAndre Ayton, we'll start with him, 12 and 6 with 2 blocks. Pretty underwhelming. Welcome to the DeAndre Ayton show. Shaedon Sharpe cooled off. He'd been playing well lately. He had 12 points. Anthony Simons had 25 points with 4 assists. Avdija started. has to be rostered at the moment. This could come to an end at any point. And hopefully you don't mind turnovers, because he had 10 of those. So the rare points turnover double-double for a guy that isn't even a point guard. That's tough to do. But we're rostering him. He still had 7 rebounds. He had a steal. Tamani Kamara had 12 and 10. So a traditional double-double, 10 rebounds with 2 steals. He remains in that Io Desunmu discussion, very borderline 12 team. Typically does just enough. I think he's okay to be held. He's okay to move on from. Scoot Henderson, who I picked up in a couple of leagues, I'm not excited, but I'm not disappointed. He had 6 points on 2 of 7 shooting, but he had 7 assists and 3 steals. So I'll take that. Robert Williams returned. Both he and Donovan Klingon are drops until Ayton misses some time again, and then we will reevaluate. But for now, they're both playing around 10 minutes a night, and that is not enough. And that's all the games. Let's have a look at questions or comments. Okay, we'll start with Ernest. How did Keontae look? He looked okay. First game back, I'm not worried about it. He's still a pretty clear hold for me. Billups is a joke of a coach. He's not a good coach. Yeah, let's be somewhat nice to him, but he's not the best coach in the league. Thinking of dropping Tobias Harris for Dante DiVincenzo or Nembhard, do need assists and am unintentionally soft punting threes. If you're punting threes, I would probably lean Nembhard over DiVincenzo, because I think a lot of his value comes from threes, not as much with Nembhard. Would I drop Tobias for one of them? I'm okay with that. I think I'm just done with Tobias as a must roster player. He's okay to hold, but if you want to drop him and see what Nembhard can do, I think that's okay. We've got a cricket question, but we'll get to the cricket question at the end. Giddy Williams looking legit. Giddy shot poorly, so that means if he made it normal, he would be better. Williams is just nuts. Yeah, Giddy's looking better, which I'm excited about. As an Aussie, it's just good to see him out there putting up numbers again. Steph, another bad game. Yeah, look, the bad games are coming, as I said, more and more. Chad, not sure who has it rougher right now, Buddy Hield or Keegan. They're both pretty rough. At least Keegan is playing minutes. If we want to see that as a positive. Please, for the love of all that is good in the world, why are they benching max contract player Michael Porter Jr. at the end of games? I'm going to lose it. I don't know. Mike Malone. That's probably it. Nick's line is very good for Dynasty League. If you've, look, the production is great, but there's probably an injury coming, isn't there? Would I go with Clowney or Grimes? If Grimes, will he be better with Kyrie back? Who would I go there? I think I'd go with Grimes right now. In 6 weeks, it might be Clowney. So I think for right now, Grimes probably is a little bit safer. Clowney, we still don't have a firm read, I suppose, on what his role is going to be. We're assuming he's going to play more, but we need to see. He's been really just a points guy, not much else. So I think I'd go with Grimes as of right now, even with Kyrie coming back. Has Russ become too expensive to trade for, considering the role? Question marks after the deadline. Trying to get him, probably. I don't think I'd be paying up to get Russell Westbrook. If you've got him, enjoy it and talk and consider offers. But if you're trying to acquire him, I probably wouldn't do that. Isaiah Collier. He's an interesting one. He's one of those guys who's offensively, he's pretty rough, but assists and defense, then, I think he could be a little bit, a little bit like a Chris Dunn, if we think back to peak Chris Dunn when he was 3 steals, 2 steals. Good rebound numbers for a guard, some assists can give you 1 or 2 threes. So Collier is a name to watch down the stretch. Fun fact from Chad, waited till today to add Dean Wade, not realizing it was the same day. Oh, yes, in our Dynasty League. I noticed that last night as well. I went to add a couple of players and it had their games for Wednesday. I thought, well, that's for Tuesday, sorry. Why is that? I'm looking at Monday's games. And so I think there must be a weird setting where we can't add players for the next day, maybe. I don't know. I'll have to check it. Obviously, I didn't set it up, so I'm not sure. Okay. So you could get Trace Jackson Davis for the Tobias Harris drop. So Nembhard, Dante DiVincenzo, or Trace Jackson Davis for Tobias Harris. Ooh. Well, Trace Jackson Davis for me has the highest upside here because he can get multiple blocks, double doubles. The Warriors, I'm hoping, realize this and play him 26 minutes a night. So he would probably be my preference there, but obviously he is very different to Nembhard and Dante in terms of what he brings you. So it would depend a little bit on what you need. So you likely drop him. So drop Tobias Harris to activate quickly. Other options to drop are Amen and Vassell. Yeah, I wouldn't be dropping them. Scotty would be the better long-term add rather than Dinwiddie. Scotty, who's Scotty? What Scotty am I thinking of? What Scotty are you thinking of? Tell me what Scotty you mean. I should be able to think of it, but I can't off the top of my head. What else have we got? Should I trade Curry for Josh Hart or will Curry be... Yeah, no, I don't think I'd be doing that. I'd still be holding Curry. That's a huge buy low on Curry. Selling low, I suppose. Who should I offer for PG? Don't want to alienate other players in the league. I don't know. I still think Paul George will be probably a top 30-ish player. He's still very good. This is just a huge buy low, and that's the point of a buy low. So I think if you could throw out a top 40 player for him, who could you throw out there? Someone who, Cam Johnson, that's probably not going to get it done. Jalen Suggs, he's injured at the moment. Trying to look at some of these, like Norm Powell. Someone's just thinks Norm Powell is going to be this guy rest of season. They're the names I'd be looking at. Top 50, top 40 players, I think if you could throw them out, that'd be okay. Who's better to stream in Philadelphia, Martin or Yabusele? Seems that both need injuries. They do both need injuries. Yabusele was good tonight, but it was more of an outlier, I think. I think Martin probably has the slightly safer floor when they're healthy. But if Embiid gets injured, which certainly could happen, then it would be Yabusele. Looking to next year in a 5-keeper league, just traded Pascal and Mark Williams for JJJ. I now have JJJ, Cade, Giannis, Mitchell. Mitchell, Maxi, Paolo competing for 1 of 5 keeper slots. Is Giannis and Paolo for SGA a sensible move to consolidate down to 5 keepers? Ooh, that's a big trade. SGA... he's pretty clearly the best player there in a dynasty. He's probably, I'm not a dynasty guy, but I would assume he's probably a top 5 in a dynasty, top 3 maybe. Giannis is still good, very good, but he's not in terms of age, he's not in that same discussion. Paolo, he's probably top 15 in a dynasty, I'd say, top 20. So you're probably giving away two top 15 players to get a top five player back. But you do have Jaren Jackson, Cade, Donovan Mitchell, Tyrese Maxey. You're probably punting rebounds with that team. Look, I think it's probably okay. I would hit up like message Matt Lawson, one of those guys, and just see what they think. I think it's okay given the roster that you've had, and it's a five keeper league, so you've got to. You can only keep five, so you do have to consolidate. And if you can try and get a top three player back, then I think you probably do it. We're almost at the bottom here. Scottie Pippen Jr. is the Scotty. So what was the question again? I need to find it. Where's that? Oh, where's the Scotty question? Benedict Stream, Martin. No, that wasn't it. Why can't I find the Scotty question? Here we go. So Scotty would, okay, so Scotty would be better long-term ad than Dinwiddie. I don't know. Scotty Pippen's a tough one because he was good last year. He's been good when handed minutes. But if Grizzlies are healthy, I just don't see him playing more than 20 minutes, 18 minutes a night. When Ja is there, when Marcus Smart is there. So I just don't think the path to minutes are very clear. But, I mean, in saying that, they're not that clear for Dinwiddie either once Luka is back. So I'd probably go with Dinwiddie right now. But rest of season, it's probably Scottie Pippen just. It's pretty close, I think. What's this one here from Fat Cookie Monster? Should I trade Ayton and Hartenstein or Ayton and Trey or Ayton and Derek White or any 2-for-1 combo with these guys for Pascal Siakam? I like trying to get off Ayton. I think that's a good... I think that's a good move, but I think I probably wouldn't move off Derek White. I probably wouldn't move off Hartenstein. I don't think I would. What's Alex got here? Trying to trade for J-Dub and Sohan, have Mark Williams, Zubats, iHeart, Mikal Bridges, Amanda's pieces to offer. How do you go about trying to get the deal done? Sending out two. Okay, so trying to trade for J-Dub and Sohan, and you want to move two of those. Well, you're going to have to send good ones because J-Dub is probably a first rounder this year, top 15 maybe. So you are going to have to send... I don't think you would get that deal done for any two of these players. Amen, no. Zubats, no. It'd be the two best players there for me are probably Mikal Bridges and Hartenstein or Mark Williams. They would be, but I don't think that would get you J-Dub. And so you could try, and I absolutely would do it if you could. But, they'd be the three. I think you'd have to send two of those three, Mikhail and one of those bigs, Williams or Hartenstein. Hartenstein is probably a little bit safer in terms of injuries because Mark Williams, who knows. But once Chet is back, Hartenstein will take a little bit of a hit. So Mark Williams in 2 months could be better than Hartenstein at the moment. I'd have Hartenstein ahead of him. And we wonder if the Sydney test will be rained out. I don't know. I mean, I live near Sydney and there's no rain coming here for the next week. So I would say maybe not at this point. But that'll do. I need to go and get ready for my New Year's festivities. It's not really festivities. It's just a barbecue at a friend's house. But that will do for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for tuning in this year. It will be 2025 when I do my next show here in Australia, not quite in the States. But thank you for listening in and always having questions and downloading and doing everything that I ask you to do. At least I can make a case to my wife that I'm actually helping someone by doing this show 2 days a week. And I will continue to do so, I'm pretty sure, unless anything changes. So thanks again. I will be back with a pregame show in the morning. I'm not planning on having a huge night, so I should be fine to do it. And then I'm sadly back to work in a few days, but I should still be able to continue the shows. So looking forward to that. That will do. I am Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.